The South Bay Bicycle Coalition is a nonprofit organization working to build a better, safer, and more bikeable South Bay, and is working exclusively for the thousands of cyclists throughout the South Bay. Through advocacy and education, the South Bay Bicycle Coalition brings together a diverse bicycling community in a united mission to make the South Bay region a safe and enjoyable place to ride. The South Bay Bicycle Coalition envisions a community that is a great place for year-round cycling, a South Bay with safer streets for children to get to school, an infrastructure that supports bicycle commuting, and an educated public that safely shares roads with cyclists. The South Bay Bicycle Coalition develops campaigns, programs, resources, and events to support bicycle-related advocacy and education. The South Bay Bicycle Coalition is here to unify all of the South Bay cities from El Segundo and Hawthorne to Carson and Palos Verdes, enabling the development of a master bike plan for the entire South Bay. Support us at southbaybikes.org or at our Facebook group, South Bay Bicycle Coalition, because the South Bay bikes. All right, good afternoon. It's Monday, January 11th. You're here with Bike Sport Radio. Bike Sport Radio, where we feature the sport of competitive cycling, and we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. We're also going to have results from the Lavra Winter Series coming up and upcoming events for the race season. It's been a little quiet over the winter, and we've got some talk about the sentencing of Dr. Chris Thompson also. We've got some call-ins on that, so that'll be interesting as well. The phone number is area code 213-252-0998. Again, you're with Bike Sport Radio. Let's move into some race results from the Lavra LA Velodrome Racing Association.
The LA Velodrome Association, Los Angeles Velodrome Racing Association, held its Lavra Winter Training Series. Racing going on January 9th and 10th at the LA Velodrome. Pursuits, time trials, and mass start races. The 3,000-meter team time trial. U.S. national team members Lauren Tamayo, Dotsie Bausch, and Carrie Higgins picking up the win there. In the 4,000-meter team time trial, Lawson Craddock, Ryan Eastman, Daniel Holloway, and Taylor Finney, also riding for the U.S. national team, picking up a time of 4:25.81. Second place in the 4,000-meter team time trial with a time of 5:08.92 going to Ironflies, Mike Soika, John Davey, Henry Kudark, and Kevin Phillips. In the 200-meter sprints, your top three times, 12.39 for third place, picked up by Southwest Bikes' Philip Watford. Second place with a time of 12.18, picked up by Team PCL, Monique Sylvan. And your winner with a time of 12.15, Ironflies, Jonathan Davey. In the 500 meters, third place with a time of 37.25, South Bay Wheelman's Steven Sowelson. Second place with a time of 36.70, going to Synergy's Jay Wolkoff. And your winner with a time of 36.62, Team PCL's Monique Sullivan. 3,000-meter individual TT. Third place with a time of 3:51.87, Team Velocity's John Allen. Second place with a time of 3:44.96, riding for the Canadian national team, Tara Whitten. And your winner with a time of 3:40.07, Hot Tubes, Lawson Craddock. In the kilo, third place with a time of 1:17.64, Jonathan Davey, riding for Ironfly. Second place with a time of 1:14.53, Southwest Bikes' Philip Watford. And your winner with a time of 1:13.29, Synergy's Jay Wolkoff. In the 2,000-meter time trial, third place with a time of 2:54.21, Gerald Agnew. Second place with a time of 2:53.09, Tara Unverzagt, riding for South Bay Wheelman. And your winner with a time of 2:51.26, Bike Religion's Andrew Misroff. Omnium track racing in the overall Omnium men's category 4 and masters 45 plus, third place, picked up by Ouch, Brent K. Second place going to California Pools, Juan Cisneros. And your winner from Bike Religion, Colin Berry. In the women's Omnium, fourth place going to Sugar Cycle's Shelby Reynolds. Third place picked up by Pro-Man's Carrie Higgins. Second place riding for the Canadian national team, Tara Whitten. And your winner from TIBCO, Lauren Tamayo. In the men's category 1, 2s, and 3s Omnium, fourth place picked up by Big Shark Bikes' Colby Pierce. Third place going to Danny Healy. Second place going to Kelly Benefits' Zach Bell. And your winner, Trek Livestrong's Taylor Finney. The Women's Omnium Beginners category, fourth place picked up by PAA's Kira Dooley. Third place, GS Adams Avenue's Jean-Marie Wheeler. Second place, Team Rancho's Allison Malouf. And your winner from Herbalife, LaGrange, Morgan Kapp. Okay, one more race to go. This is a really cool race to watch. The Madison two-person teams. Fifth place being picked up by Dave Cosell and Kevin Schiller. Fourth place going to Cody O'Reilly and Colby Pierce. Third place picked up by Danny Healy, Iggy Silva. Second place, Justin Williams and Guy East. And your winning team in the Madison, Daniel Holloway and Ian Moore. And that was the Lavra Winter Series results. Okay, in the upcoming road racing events, road racing season starts in Southern California with our local association calendar starting on January 30th. The 2010 UC Santa Barbara cycling team presents the Poor College Kids Road Race, sponsored by Spinning. That is on Saturday, January 30th in the Los Olivos area. Full details on that can be found by email at poorcollegekidsroadrace@gmail.com. And you can register online at socalreg.com for the Poor College Kids Road Race. And make it a Santa Barbara weekend coming up the following day on Sunday, January 31st. Hazards Cycle Sports and Echelon Santa Barbara, in association with Rock Solid Cycling, presents the Mothballs Criterium for a total prize list of $2,860. Beginner men's racing starting at 7 a.m. all the way up to 4 p.m. start time for the pro and open category 1, 2s, and 3s. This is a Criterium race at the Santa Barbara Research Center. Email contact is Mondini, that's M-O-N-D-I-N-I, at cox.net. And you can register online also at socalreg.com. Full details on this, as well as the entire 2010 racing calendar, at scnca.org. All right, we got upcoming Southridge mountain bike racing at the Southridge Winter Series presented by Shimano. That's in Fontana, Southern California. The 16th annual Southridge Winter Series 2010, sponsored by ODI, Mr. Dirt, and Kenda. Next race coming up January 23rd and 24th. That's cross country, downhill, four cross, and Super D. Southridge Race Club members get a $10 discount on your entry fee. And all races run rain or shine. There's no membership needed to race. And full details can be found at southridgeusa.com. Again, that's January 23rd and 24th, off-road mountain bike racing.
So Kill Radio's got a upcoming fundraiser. We want to make sure we let everybody know about that. That's coming up on Saturday, January 23rd at 8 p.m. at the Toe facility in downtown L.A. It's a great concert. Multiple bands out there. It's a fundraiser, again, for Kill Radio. Don't miss that. We need your support. We need your help on getting out technical difficulties solved and everything and so on and so forth. Kill Radio fundraiser. That's at the Toe facility. That's this. That's Saturday, January 23rd. That's not this Saturday. It's a week from Saturday, 8 p.m., multiple concerts. You can get tickets online or at the door. Visit killradio.org for tickets. In other upcoming announcements, the Masters Cycle League has named 29,000men.org as the official nonprofit beneficiary of the league, expanding to Northern California. Visit masterscycleleague.org for all details on the upcoming Masters Cycle League season for 2010. Now, we had some in-the-field interviews. We chatted with some people about how they feel on the upcoming sentencing of Dr. Thompson. He was sentenced on Friday to 5 years for what most of you have already heard about, the incident on Mandeville Canyon. And we had a chance to chat with some people on that and see what they had to say and what their thoughts were on the sentencing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great day for cyclists, and if you could state your name clearly, maybe tell us what you think of the sentencing of Dr. Thompson.
Well, without any, my first thought would be, let's look at other incidents of assault and similar crimes taking place in different contexts, and then see if this compares to that. I think if we're looking for a social justice issue, that's how that would be weighed. My first feeling off the cuff is that 5 years is a pretty significant sentence if he winds up serving a significant amount of that, of course, with budget cuts and that sort of thing. I'm wondering if a review board is going to, you know, look at this and say, hey, this was just an assault against a cyclist, so let's cut him free a little bit early. He's not really a threat to the mainstream society. It would be a fear of mine. I want to be optimistic at that point and think that the system served us fairly well and that, people will think twice about acting on their impulses in the future.
Yeah, very good. All right, thank you. All right, we have another opinion on the sentencing of Dr. Thompson. Would you like to say a few things, or what do you think?
I actually think the sentence was a little light. He should have gotten the maximum sentence because he had shown willful disregard and a previous history.
Right, this was his third offense, I understood, huh? And they originally were talking about 10 years and then 8. And it was reduced to what? What did they get?
5.
5 years.
He got 5, he should have gotten 8.
Yeah.
I think it sends the wrong message.
I personally think that 5 years is plenty. His life is ruined. He's bankrupt. He's not going to get to practice anymore.
He's not bankrupt.
And
practice is over. He runs a software company.
Fine, but...
Amen.
But he learned his lesson. 5 years is enough to teach other drivers that you have to treat cyclists. We don't cause traffic. We are traffic. So.
Very well said. That's true. Cyclists are traffic, and hopefully this will serve as a wake-up call, as said in the media, to others. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Well.
All right. That was some of our comments. We've got a caller on the line right now. And let's mic him up here. And
okay, you're with Kill Radio. Who's this? State your name.
Marco. Marco Fantone.
Hey, Marco. How you doing?
How
Thanks
you
for
doing?
Calling. Thanks for calling in. Some good news, I guess. We're taking some callers. And what do you think of the sentencing of Dr. Thompson for the Mandeville Canyon incident?
You know, you look at it as, okay, so justice was done, but, you know, is there any real winner in this? Probably not. Here's a guy who probably had some anger issues who's, going to be going to jail, and, some of the people who've written back in saying, wow, one incident and he's going to jail, other people, they use weapons and guns and stuff like that, and, they have lighter sentences, and, part of me can, understand that, but at the same time, I think a clear message has to be sent out that, you know, you cannot use a motor vehicle, you know, to inflict harm on a cyclist. So looking at the judge's perspective on that, I think he made the right call on this.
Right. It's interesting to hear some of the comments from the public, particularly the non-cycling public who has perhaps never ridden a bike in the city and doesn't feel the vulnerability issues that go on constantly out there when you're cycling among, you know, 3,000 pound and more vehicles. And all they do is they compare it to, like you said, to those other crimes such as, you know, DUIs and everything. And you bring up a good point. What do you think this will do for the future of the streets and making the streets safe for multiple users, and particularly vulnerable users, including pedestrians?
Well, you know, I think it raises awareness that, you know, we're not some small fringe. You know, more and more people are using their, you know, bicycles to commute to work, especially last summer, you know, when the, two summers ago now, when we had the fuel crisis and, you know, gas was soaring. Even on my short commute, I live on a, you know, street that actually has, you know, a lot of cycling commuters to begin with, and there were far more just over the last year because of that. I mean, you could immediately attribute it to that. So it's not just, you know, cyclists and clubs going out on training rides in the morning. It's, you know, people actually using their bikes to get to work, and, you know, they're not riding on the sidewalks. You know, it's illegal in a lot of areas, and it's just plain unsafe. So there has to be a balance between, you know, the motoring public and the cycling public.
Right. Yeah, you're a bike commuter yourself then, huh?
I do commute during the summer when it's warm, but, you know, most of my riding is club riding, you know, for workouts in the morning. And Mandeville has been part of our weekly riding regimen for the last, at least, you know, since I joined the club back in 1998, Mandeville every Wednesday morning. And so, you know, I've seen the dynamics change over the years. I see, you know, how the residents have, you know, interacted with the cyclists. And for the most part, it is, you know, pretty civilized. Everyone gives each other space when possible. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is Mandeville was developed, you know, probably 40, 50 years ago when vehicles were smaller, traffic was much lower, and basically it's a road that is in dire need of an upgrade. And it really does come down to the physical road itself.
Sure. Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. That's true. It's a very old road, and vehicles do go faster and faster these days, and it's kind of a shame because there seems to have been a de-evolution of our roads and streets, and in that the multiple users that have used the roads in the past have kind of gone away, and it's more motorists now than anything else. And Mandeville's a difficult spot, huh? It's pretty narrow, and it's you know, I think there's a speed limit of 30, and it's hard up there.
It is, and you know, I think another problem, even if you were to take, you know, cyclists out of the equation, and again, this is something I've experienced on numerous occasions, are people backing out of their driveways in the morning. You know, they're heading off to work, and you know, they feel it's okay to back out, and you've got a car coming down at, you know, 50 miles an hour, and they come around a blind corner, and wow, you know, it's
yeah.
I mean, I'm amazed I haven't seen more car to car accidents over the years than I have, really.
Right. Yeah. The thing about the law is that the law is routinely, you know, you kind of look the other way because you and I are motorists too. I have a car, and everybody,
absolutely,
almost everybody that rides a bike also drives a car. And I got to admit, I mean, I was speeding on my way to the studio here in my truck. I mean, I was on the freeway. There was no other users except other motorists. And I don't drive that way around cyclists and pedestrians, of course. But when you compare that to generally everybody kind of just slides along, you know, bicyclists will roll through stop signs a lot, and people notice that, and unfortunately it seems unfair that a lot of cyclists do get singled out as saying, oh, well, they run the stop signs all the time. It's like, well, hello, motorists. Do you obey the speed limit 100% of the time? Probably not.
Right.
And it's, you know, I think if everybody would just chill a little bit and just slow down, America. What's the hurry?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there seems to be just a lot of unnecessary finger pointing too. It's a very, you know, tit for tat mentality. You know, oh well, you know, he ran a stop sign, and like you said, you know, car speed. I mean,
right,
everyone breaks a law every day.
Right.
You know, let's face it. I don't think there's anyone out there who obeys every law every day, be it on a bicycle or in a car. So, you know, why not focus on what creates a problem or what creates a dangerous situation? And, you know, speed, while, you know, problematic, you know, I also ride on San Vicente Boulevard in Santa Monica and Brentwood, and, you know, because there is a wide shoulder, I've never felt unsafe,
yes,
you know, riding my bike down there. People routinely go, you know, down there at 40, 45, maybe even 50 miles an hour, and yet, you know, they have their space, I have my space. I even took my 13-year-old son down to, you know, Ocean Avenue and back, which is about a, you know, 2.5-mile stretch of that each way, and never at one point did I feel, you know, I was, you know, unsafe. I actually felt more unsafe with the potential car door opening on my right than I did by the cars passing me on the left.
Yeah, the infamous dooring phenomenon.
Yeah,
people
so
get doored all the time for nothing.
I think it really comes down to just space. You know, motorists want to get where they're going. Cyclists just want to ride on the road where they're at. You know, I have no problem coexisting with the motoring public as long as there is ample space. And it sort of gets back to Mandeville and how,
right,
apparently a number of homeowners have encroached on the roadway over the years, just building further and further out. You see many driveways that come right out to the edge of the road, and based on what knowledge I have, a lot of this has been done illegally, and the state does have the authority to reclaim some of that property. And I've actually mentioned this to some people I know in city government, and something to look into in the, you know, maybe within the next year or two, at least get the ball rolling in that area. And then when the state does have appropriate funds to physically deal with Mandeville, maybe at that time we can get an improved road. But I think it needs to start with reclaiming, you know, roadway that is legally belongs to the city.
Right. Yes, we are in downtown L.A. The studio is right here at Vermont and Beverly. That was your local fire department.
Okay.
Heading off to hopefully put out a fire and not rescue another injured cyclist.
Yeah.
It happens too much. Cyclists are getting slaughtered out there. And you know, is there a line of communication or something open at all with Mandeville Canyon residents, or is this particular trouble area being worked on or addressed by anything that you know?
LaGrange has had an open dialogue with a number of the homeowners associations within Mandeville Canyon.
Okay, wonderful.
We've been in contact with them over the last couple of years, one since the incident, but also while putting our Brentwood Grand Prix together, because they are part of the Brentwood community. We did speak with them regarding the race and getting permits. And so, you know, we've built a nice working relationship with a number of key individuals who, you know, they have the potential to make some changes in the future.
Right. All right. Very good. Very good. That's a job well done by a local bike club. And it would be wonderful if we could all keep these communication lines open. And I'm a real big fan of education of motorists and cyclists as well, and educating everybody. And, you know, my vision would be one day to have everybody just mutually respect each other out there in the streets, and I think that'd be wonderful. So, I had heard, one more thing, I had heard about something about a vulnerable user law. I don't know if that's state or municipal, local, or whatever, but I don't know if you've heard anything about this, a potential law or ordinance where any incident between a motorist and a bicyclist or pedestrian, the police report we've written, and it would be assumed that the motorist was at fault until proven otherwise. Have you heard anything about that? Or
no, I'm actually not familiar with that.
Okay. Yeah, that's that seems like one of the more extreme measures that could be taken to protect vulnerable users, and I know that's controversial, but it seems like the burden of proof should be on those who are more of a hazard to our community and our society, and I don't see how a pedestrian or a bicyclist who perhaps steps off a sidewalk under the crosswalk without paying attention, or rolls through a stop sign because he's so tired on his bike and he doesn't want to stop again.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see how that is as much of a hazard as the motorist, you know, speeding down the road and blowing
now, and
through
again,
a traffic
you're
light
talking
while on your cell phone.
Pure volume here, you know, a 3,000-pound car, you know, 100-pound cyclist with a 20-pound bike.
Right.
It's, it's not even a comparison.
There's been an experiment done, and I don't know if it was in Copenhagen or somewhere, but it was something about open streets where they removed all traffic control devices, such as signs and painted lines on the road and sidewalks and street lights, and just threw everybody in the mix, cars, you know, horses, pedestrians, bikes, and everything, threw them all in the mix and said, okay, go use this road. Hmm. And surprisingly enough, the accident rate went down because nobody was, you know, relying on the traffic light or the lane markings or a bike lane to keep them safe.
People actually had to show some kind of common courtesy and sharing the road mentality.
Mm-hmm. They actually had to look out for each other. And surprisingly enough, that actually reduced accidents. And I thought that was very interesting. But, all right, anything you want to add? Anything else you want to add, Marco?
No, I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we look at this verdict, and, you know, for anyone else out there who's a little frazzled behind the wheel, they're probably going to think twice when they come up on some cyclist, and as much as they want to potentially inflict any kind of harm,
yes,
you know, this has certainly sent a message that, you know, you can't do that and just get away with a slap on the wrist or a fine. I mean, you will potentially do jail time.
Right. Yes, okay. Very unfortunate for the person in jail, but let's hope something positive comes out of this, and I think it will.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much, Marco.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
All right. Some great input from Marco out there on the sentencing of Dr. Thompson, Dr. Chris Thompson. So, and we also have some comments, online comments, a number of comments from the off-road community. They actually weighed in on this situation, on the sentencing of Dr. Thompson. We read some of them off a local blog, STR it's called, so they're SoCal Trail Riders. Let's see what some of these users had to say.
Some response from the mountain biking community, which I wanted to go over here. This is on STR, and these are posted results, responses to the sentencing of Dr. Thompson. Here's one from Mountain Bike J. He says, it's a little late for this statement, and then he quotes, at his sentencing hearing at the county's Airport Branch Court, Thompson cited the Bible in urging cyclists and residents of Mandeville Canyon to try to resolve their differences peacefully. Mountain Bike Jay goes on and says, perhaps he should have thought about that before he slammed on his brakes.
For those of you who aren't completely clear about the whole incident, this wasn't an incident where some cyclist just ran into the back of a car that stopped suddenly. The motorist actually buzzed the cyclist real close and then went around in front of him and jammed on his brakes intentionally to do intentional harm. That's what the reader here was referring to.
Here's another one from M. Foga. Rides an intense mountain bike. He's talking about jail, and he says, ouch, he's already at NCCF. Not really sure where NCCF, but he says, he goes on to say, I wouldn't want to be anywhere at that facility. That place is a train wreck. That is the facility that was locked down for riots a few years ago. Plus, it seems that this is one of the only sites I have been to where there was a problem every time I was there for work, and a lot of times when coworkers were there. It was also one of the three sites in California that we went to that we had a sign. I'm sorry, we had to sign a no negotiation policy waiver saying that if we got captured and held by inmates, they would not negotiate for our release. So don't know if Dr. Thompson will be serving in that location. Here's another one from Stray Bullet. Stray Bullet says, another great example of why I ride in the dirt. Very sorry about the guy that got hurt. I'm sure it was a lame experience. However, in the long run, the rider will sue him and collect megabucks. Don't be surprised if the doctor gets time served and probation and a huge fine. Who knows? We will all find out tomorrow. And this was done before the sentencing, actually. By the way, county jail ain't no picnic, and the pen isn't either. I doubt that the doctor is in GP. There is no way that guy would last even in the CJ. And he goes on to say, I'm looking forward to hearing what happens, and the future looks bleak either way for Dr. Thompson. Another writer, a few inhibitions, he states, I would love to see the guy made an example of. He isn't going to get the full 8 years, 1 year if any time at most, but doubtful. Well, surprise, few inhibitions. Dr. Thompson, as we know, got 5 years. He goes on to say, folks who kill people while driving, even DUI, rarely get more than a couple of years. Most likely, time served, fine, restitution, probation, and community service. Suspended professional license, but I doubt it. His work history and whatever good he did will also be considered. Well, they are considering his professional license. He's on his way to be suspended by the Medical Review Board. Another response from a writer named Disco. Disco says, for the last time, I don't care who is right or wrong. It's the topic that's under attack. Getting back to this one, even if he is sentenced to 100 years, any lawyer worth a damn can appeal the ruling and try to omit the previous history and hasty comments just after the incident. The law is designed so it's better to let the guilty walk rather than hang the innocent. And he says, I think the victim here, who's a professional cyclist, coach, and role model to the public and private university teams, ought to be held to a higher standard of ethics. Considering the influence of his position, cussing out and flipping off a rude driver sets a poor example, and I would have fired him over it. Well, that's Disco's opinion. Another response from MJ, that's E-M-E-J. He says, I wish for bad things on the Dr. Dude, and I really hope that justice prevails and is served. And as we know, it was. Here's one from Lovin, L-O-V-I-N, says, he'll become Dr. Cellmate's puppet. Another response from Sweet Pea. He says, it was his arrogance and lying at trial that got him in trouble, I think. If he had come clean and asked for help with his anger management problem, I bet he would have fared better. All that jail talk is making me feel sorry for him. Okay. A lot of people very happy about 5 years, saying, yippee, he got 5 years. This is JCKA saying he got 5 years, with probably about 20 exclamation marks after that. Here's a response from Destroyer. He says, he's quoting, what is mayhem in this instance? And this is from an earlier question by Sean C. He's asking what mayhem is. Dr. Thompson was convicted of mayhem. Destroyer states, I think it's due to the guy that broke the back window with his face is why they got him for mayhem, since his face was severely disfigured and needed surgery. And he goes on to, quote, mayhem is the willful and unlawful crippling or mutilation of another person. Here's Joshik saying, dang, the doc lost his home, went BK, and moved into his dad's house in Oklahoma. Too bad. Yeah, it's maybe he'll be riding a bicycle in Oklahoma. Okay. Georgia of the Jungle, in response to, where did you hear that and why did he go bankrupt, states, something for the cyclist's attorneys to look into. Some people will attempt to get out of any civil losses by moving assets into others' names or having others place liens on their assets like homes. I hope the good doc isn't trying to do this, as if it's proven in court, he's screwed, as are the people who assisted.
All right, we've got another caller right now. Let me get the phone mic'd up here a little bit.
There we go. You're here on Kill Radio. Hey, this is Joe, right? How you doing?
Hi, Brad. Yeah, that's right. Joe just got off my bike.
Oh, good. Yeah, we do Bike Sport Radio here, and we've finished most of our race results, and we're in our comment period. And we're talking about the sentencing of Dr. Thompson and weighing in on what people think about it. What do you think about it?
I think he at least got what he deserved. I think he got off easy, getting only 5 years. I don't have a single iota of sympathy or compassion for this person because he clearly seemed like an aggressive agitator who finally got caught. And I personally believe that without setting examples of people like this doctor, people will not stop and think about the consequences.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point. The thing that I've the thing that's kind of been a bugaboo with me that I've noticed is that this goes on all the time, routinely. Motorists bully not just bicyclists but pedestrians and all vulnerable users and smaller fish in the sea, so to say.
Absolutely. I drive a small two-seat Honda Del Sol, a 97, and you know,
so you get bullied by the big SUVs.
Absolutely, and even the mini SUVs. The bottom line is, you know, people exploit power, and when people are behind the wheel of a powerful car, they seem to believe that they have a power that extends beyond their own personal power that's given to them by the motorized vehicle. And you see it on every road. And I'll be honest with you. There's a patience issue here that I myself had to get educated on. You know, I live in the South Bay, and on Saturdays, you know, Catalina Avenue and some of the other streets that I travel to go shopping or go here and there are clogged with bicycles. Now, you know, I've come as an enlightened bicyclist to see what a wonderful thing that is. But, you know, when I'm an impatient idiot and I'm behind the wheel of the car and I've left the house, you know, late as it is, hoping to make up time to get where I'm going, there wasn't the time that long ago when I was really pissed at, what are these bicyclists taking up the entire lane? Don't they realize I'm a car? I own this street. Well, you know, obviously I've learned otherwise because that's not the law, but I would venture to guess that 8 out of 10 people think it is the law.
Right. It would be nice if everybody would just assume that everybody was the same, and when you go out there and you're stuck behind a line of cars, or the freeway is completely jammed with traffic, or the road is completely jammed with bicycles, it would be nice if everybody said, oh, same thing, it's just traffic.
Yeah.
My fault. And, you know, hopefully this, you know, just a wake up to everybody, you know, relax, slow down, America. That's what I'd like to see. Just people just slow down. And I don't know if anybody brought this up. I didn't see it in the trial or anything, or maybe I missed it. Did anybody, or do you know if anybody actually did a drug or alcohol test on Dr. Thompson in his agitated state?
That's an interesting question. I haven't heard that brought up. I would assume, and you know what happens when you assume, but I would assume that would have been a normal practice of the police once they were brought onto the scene.
Right.
And at the very least, they would have looked for outward signs, glassy-eyed, you know, swaying, inability to speak without stuttering or slurring your words. So knowing the level of hostility on both sides, I would have to think that if there were any chance that there were alcohol or drugs involved, that would have been a major contention in this case.
Yeah, yeah, somebody must have tested. So, you know, if anything, just too much coffee.
Well, and again, too, you know, it's there's something to be said about the Napoleonic complex of little men with very big titles, and so here you have a doctor from the pictures I saw of him at sentencing of shorter than average stature, but behind the wheel of his powerful luxury car, you know, a big man.
Right, and I think that one of the reasons the sentence went the way it did is that this was actually his third offense. This has been reported before, and nothing ever came of it. And this is the third time that this had happened, that this same driver had acted this way. It's quite possible things would have been quite different if this was the first and only time he had done this.
Or if he had been caught and heavily fined $500 or $1,000 the first time, he might have thought about it.
Right.
But having been able to get away with it heretofore, you know, I'm a cynical person as it is, so knowing the man's background and knowing his attitude toward bicyclists, it was very difficult to accept his sudden remorse over this incident. Because
right.
one has to think that if he could have just gotten away and done his damage and left without being caught, he would probably not be very remorseful.
Right, yep.
I suspect he's mostly remorseful about the 5 years he's going to be spending in prison.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's definitely remorseful at least about that. anything else you want to add, Joe?
Only that I'm very excited about what's happening here to start this new year with the South Bay Bicycle Coalition, which I'm a member of, and very proudly so.
Yes.
You know, if you're lucky enough to live in Southern California, you already live in you know, perhaps the bicycle nirvana. But if you add on top of that the luck that and fortune, good fortune that folks like I have to live near the beach community, you know, you just can't even account how fortunate you are
right.
to not only have the weather, but to be able to ride as I did today, to hop on my bike and roll down the hill from my house and ride the Strand all the way to Manhattan Beach.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Have breakfast with somebody and come back. It was like living in a different world.
Well, we are in a different world compared to the rest of the country here, Joe. I'm looking out at the studio over the snow over Mount Wilson, but it's friggin' 70 degrees, and it's January 11th, and people are out and about, and we're having some great weather, and hopefully with the South Bay Bicycle Coalition, that'll help things in that region as far as education and advocacy. The meetings, there's another meeting coming up, right? When's the meeting coming up and where?
Oh, boy, I wish I was prepared to answer that. I would suggest that if you're a Facebook person, you could go to the South Bay Bike Coalition page on Facebook and get
right.
that answer.
Right. South Bay Bicycle Coalition has a Facebook group, and also visit their website, southbaybikes.org. Let's see if I got the meeting here is, it says it's Wednesday. That's this Wednesday at 7 p.m. And, again, find out more at southbaybikes.org.
Sounds great. And I have to say that, you know, I'm not a hardcore biker. I look up to the pros like you. I'm a casual biker. But being a member of the South Bay Bike Coalition and having the support and help of hardcore bikers, you know, I couldn't have this meeting with my friend Todd today without thinking, I have to ride my bike. There's no excuse for me on a beautiful day like this going to Manhattan Beach not to get on my bike. So it's already changed me. And I see that same kind of change happening with other people who have been casual bikers and are now recognizing, you know, just how
right.
valuable biking is in all the ways we talk about in the coalition.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So thanks.
No
Appreciate
pun intended, but it would be a crime not to ride your bike today. Thanks for calling, Joe.
Great work. My pleasure. Bike on.
Have a good one.
All right, that was Joe Galliani. He's with the South Bay Bicycle Coalition. He's actually on the marketing committee. Visit southbaybikes.org.
It could either be a nasty rumor or perhaps he's had to pay extremely high legal fees without any income. Here's one from Monster Tiki.
We're listening to more comments from STR regarding the Chris Thompson sentence.
Monster Tiki states, it's good to hear this Deutschbag got what he deserved. If he survives jail, he can look forward to having that felony and jail time permanently hanging over his head whenever he has a background check. All those years of schooling and hard work pretty much just got pissed away. Here's one from Duke 777 who states, a good lesson indeed. How about this? Arc 23 Rockpile states, unfortunately, he'll probably be out in under 3 years. Oh well, with his background, it won't be easy time. Bon voyage, Doc. Looks like you're riding the chain. Here's one from Iruizella. Claims to be a mountain biking addict. He states, not applying a strong sentencing would have sent the wrong message. Other motorists might have attempted to copycat the doctor's actions in a similar situation. Now I feel safer to ride on the road. Well, Aruzilla, you are actually correct. This is actually a common occurrence that goes on all the time. There are several near misses, and as you see by the trial, this was actually Dr. Thompson's third offense, and it's unfortunate that it takes an incident like this to actually have any kind of prosecution. But this kind of thing goes on all the time. And all it is a matter of bullying the vulnerable users out there on our streets and roads. So here's one from Dizzle, D-I-Z-L-E. He says, I read an article about the sentencing. Is it true that his driving privilege has been revoked for the rest of his life once he gets out of prison? And yes, that's the way I understand it. His driver's license has been permanently revoked. And I tell you, I certainly feel safer on the streets. That's one less very bad driver out there on the streets. Here's one from Rumpled. Says, for all that he was convicted of in his arrogance, I think he got a fair sentence. From what I understand, most DUI killers and manslaughter convictions get less. Yeah, that could be true. It certainly could be true. So here's one discussing licensing bicycles, who states, in response to someone saying that it might be time to license bicycles and provide small license plates so others can take down the license numbers of lawbreakers. Well, that's interesting. Here's AutoDuel's response to that. It says, it'll be just like reporting lawbreaking drivers. You know, how often does that happen? How often do drivers speed as a routine method of operating your vehicle? I don't know. What do you think of that? Here's one responding to a potential appeal from Few Inhibitions, who states, I think he will lose on appeal as an example, but will only serve 18 months or so for good behavior and the need to make room for another more violent offender and or health issues. If they keep him in too long, then he gets even more expensive medical care on our dime as well. You can be sure that part of his incarceration strategy will be to cost the taxpayers as much as possible in hopes of getting a medical release. Well, we shall see. Here's one from Pickett, responding to a posting by Rossage, who says, cyclists are the worst at following the rules of the road, but that's due to the nature of the vehicle and the way it's ridden. Not really sure what what Rossage is stating there. It perhaps has to do with the California stop or something like that, which is really a huge cost to bicyclists. Again, I don't know what hazard they are to others. It's the big hazard of injury out there certainly comes from motorists who speed and drive recklessly and use their cell phones and don't pay attention. But Pickett's response is negative. I can spot more traffic violations by drivers in a single day than you can cyclists in an entire month. If you disagree, let's take a drive together one of these days and we'll quantify that. That being said, of course, cyclists should be more responsible out there on the road. Definitely. Everyone should. Here's another response by Rossage saying, come on, man, I used to be a bike messenger. In 8 years, I broke the law every single day just to make a buck, and that included the commute to work and back. And here's a response from Dirt Mistress. Dirt Mistress states, today in Malibu, my friends and I stopped at a red light on PCH. It was a T-intersection, and PCH was busy. A woman in her SUV rolled down her window and thanked us for stopping, saying she'd never seen that before. We said, no problem. Good thing she didn't follow us all day, and we know that there are problems. I then told her not to forget all the drivers that roll stop signs and speed along above the speed limit. People get ridiculously upset that cyclists sometimes ignore the laws while they, as drivers, blast along at 5 to 15 miles an hour over the speed limit or blab on the cell phone or roll right turn reds and stoplights. This is unreal that some people get so bent out of shape about this. They really need to look in the mirror and ask themselves if they do everything to obey the law every day without fail. For those that don't know, I'm a professional driver in Malibu and I see bad cyclists and good cyclists, but I see way more bad drivers. Bottom line here is this: I will continue to run stop signs if no cars are around, and I will continue the infamous California roll if no cops are around. There was actually some action in the California Congress regarding the vehicle code for cyclists, I believe, and it may still be active right now, and let's hope this comes to be, because it would be, in all fairness, fair to cyclists, and it would encourage cycling. That was a attempt to adjust the vehicle code for stop signs and allow bicyclists to treat stop signs as yield signs. What do you think of that? For the most part, many bicyclists are already treating stop signs as yield signs. And, you know, in all due fairness, there's a speed survey ruling for motorists that if a speed survey is done and 85% of the motorists are driving at a certain speed limit, that speed limit on that road is raised to that speed limit. Well, in all fairness, I'd have to say, you know, maybe 85% of the cyclists are rolling stop signs or treating them as yield signs. Why not make that the law for them? Sounds perfectly fair to me. Why discriminate against cyclists? Motorists get to have increased speed limits when 85% of them are speeding. So why can't cyclists have the law changed to stop signs as yield signs if 85% of them are already treating stop signs as yield signs? So there's a lot of input in about taxes and who's paying for the roads and everything like that. Here's one from Otto Duhl, who states, in general, people who drive less than average overpay their true share of transportation costs, while those who drive more than the average underpay. As a result, pedestrians and bicyclists actually tend to subsidize motorists. Current transportation investment and management policies tend to favor motor vehicle use at the expense of non-motorized modes. I pay Mello Roos tax twice a year for the next 20 years for the creation of roadways and infrastructure in my neighborhood, just like every other homeowner where I drive, bike, or walk. And that's true. A lot of property taxes and so forth go to pay for our roads, not gas tax, not necessarily gas tax.
Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results. Hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California, and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones. If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
All right, a couple more comments. LA Streets blog posted several comments, or actually the readers post their own comments. Here's one from Ubray. Dr. Thompson, or the victim, quote, according to supporters, made a stupid decision that galvanized a community. It has cost him his reputation, what money he had, and his freedom. I'm sad that it took injuring two people and the high cost of punishing Dr. Thompson to bring us all together to fight for our rights for the roadway. The sad reality is that changes in policy and road design to favor bikes in this city are paid for in blood and treasure. I hate the war metaphor that our culture employs so liberally, but it certainly feels like a war sometimes between the interests of civil life and automobile speed and access. Two bike riders got their bodies mangled, and this Thompson fellow has ruined his career and his fortunes. Here's another one from Cal Watch, who says, yes, but he is going to lose his driver's license for life, and unless he's going to get chauffeured everywhere at some point, he will have to ride a bicycle. The irony of that, about that. Another one from Rambo. And again, these are blogs that are anonymous. This one says, regarding Kevin Stallworth's comments, and I think Kevin was one of the people that stepped forward and supported Dr. Thompson, actually. But this responder says, please read the Bill of Rights endorsed by multiple neighborhood councils throughout the city of Los Angeles, and I suggest a 13th cyclist Bill of Rights be added. We won't read the entire Bill of Rights here. Most of you have probably heard it before. You can find out the full Bill of Rights at bikewriterscollective.org. But this reader proposes adding Bill of Rights number 13. Due to the continuing threats and hatred of cyclists by motorists, cyclists in Los Angeles shall be given special favorable consideration when applying for concealed weapons permits. Well, again, that's just an escalation of the war, so... you know, we don't know how I think a vulnerable user law would be a great start. The Trickster writes in, I think that the only thing you'll find that was verbally recorded at the scene was Dr. Thompson's 911 call, where he could be heard first telling the riders to remove their bikes from the road and then saying that they weren't seriously injured, but that they would say otherwise. All of this while one of them was still picking himself and what remained of his nose from the rear window of the dear doctor's car. So anyways, that brings our program to a conclusion. We'd like to thank everybody for calling in. And remember, the streets are a venue for bike sport, for bicycle competition and training. And when everybody's out there riding, you actually ride your bike safely. You drive as well. Drive your bike like you would that of a vehicle. We'll see you next time on Bike Sport Radio. She boarded the boat and turned and blew me a kiss. And later on, when the squad car came,